Morning. So I said at the beginning of Mass that it's a challenging gospel, and it is a challenging gospel, but it doesn't get challenging until the very end. The first part of it really is, well done, my good and faithful servant, and come and share your master's joy. And we hear that twice. And then we get to the wicked and lazy servant who buried his master's treasure. And that can be challenging and difficult words sometimes. And I'll say, you know, as we get close to the end of the church year, and as we look forward to Advent, the readings at Sunday Mass get more and more about the end of our life and the final judgment. In fact, next week is going to be the separation of the sheep and goats. And then as we enter into Advent, it's all about anticipating the coming of the King. And so just hear me say to you, it's not an accident that these readings, as we approach the end of the year, getting more severe and kind of making us ask questions about where we're going in life. That's very intentional by the church. So, have you ever heard this expression? I hope you have. I hope you can all nod and say, of course, Father Mike, everybody's heard that. Yes. Either you're with me or you're against me, right? Have you heard that? Who said that? Jesus said that. Either you're with me or you're against me. Either you're gathering or you're scattering. You know, and it seems like we heard in the gospel a moment ago, either you're working for the master, trying to build the kingdom, or you're burying the talent and frankly accusing the master of being an evil man. I knew you were a demanding person, gathering where you don't plant, harvesting the crops that aren't your own. And I heard a reflection on this gospel, and somebody said, what do you call a person who harvests crops that are not his own? You call that person a thief. And so we have this antagonism between the person with one talent and the master who entrusted it to him. And so this idea of either you're with me or you're against me, either you gather or you scatter. Today's gospel is about apathy. And apathy says, you know, in the beginning of the Mass, through my most grievous fault, and what I have done and what I have what? Failed to do. That's right. And some people might imagine that they're going to say to God at the end of their life, I didn't do anything. And that's going to be a good excuse, right? And that is going to be exactly the problem. Exactly the problem. See, God has entrusted something incredibly precious and valuable to you. Do you see yourself that way? How many times I've encouraged you all to look in the mirror and see God's beloved son, God's beloved daughter. Something of incomprehensible value has been entrusted to you. What is that of incomprehensible value that has been given to you? You have been given a share in the master's life. God has entrusted to us his treasure. He breathed his very spirit into us. You are a vessel of God's life and love. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with it? We've all been called to this profound responsibility to use the gift that God has entrusted to us. Now I have to ask myself, as a Catholic priest, frustrated by this reality, and I speak out at this congregation, this beautiful congregation this morning, and I know that there are no few of you who are concerned because your children and your grandchildren just have abandoned the faith. No few of you. And I ask myself, why? What's happening in the world? What's happened in the past couple of generations? In America, you know, 20% or so of Catholics, maybe 25, go to Mass regularly. In Europe, it's even less. And I was thinking about this. A few things have converged in my life recently to kind of, I don't know, help me understand. I heard a priest reflecting on his priestly ministry, and he said he'd been a priest for 50 years. For 50 years he'd been a priest. Never preached about the spiritual battle and the devil. Not once. You know, the gospel today had two options. And I've shared this idea with you before. The gospel today that I read to you a few minutes ago had two options. I could have quit reading at, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I could have just quit reading right there. That was one of the options that the church gives me. Skip the hard part. Now, I'm not sure why that's an option. It doesn't make any sense to me, frankly. At all. And I know that there are people and places where they're going to skip the hard part. Let me tell you, the gospel has a hard part. But there is power in the gospel. There are power, this power in these words. I'm not making these words up. These aren't my words. These are Jesus' words. And Jesus' words penetrate us. They transform us. They heal us. They challenge us. They awaken in us. They're supposed to anyway. They're supposed to. But if you never hear them, how will that happen? And I'm afraid we've had a tremendous absence of the power of God's word being spoken in a clear, challenging, sometimes it might make us mad. Trust me, I've walked out of this church and had people say to me, "I didn't like that." Well, the Word of God challenges us. Now, these talents that we have been entrusted with, I want to remind you again. Now, there's a little bit of a language barrier here, because a talent, when we hear talent, we're thinking, I'm a good musician, you know, I can run fast, I have great math skills, you know, whatever it might be. That's what we're thinking when we hear talent. But a talent was a measure of wealth. A talent was an amount of money, something incredibly valuable. Now, I already told you the answer to this question, so you better remember, okay? I've already said it this morning. What is that incredibly valuable thing that has been entrusted to you? God's very life breathed into you. God's very life. A share in the divine power of God. And you have been given that. And what are you going to do with it? Bury it in the ground. Or use it to grow and flourish and to share the good news of God, who loves us and made us and entrusted his life to us Now, you all, if you don't know this, let me clue you in on the fact that you are in a spiritual battle, that there is somebody trying to convince you that God is the bad guy, that somehow there's this injustice. You should bury your talent in the ground and accuse God of being unfair and unjust and all of those things. And let me tell you, that is like, propaganda 101 against God. And a lot of people are buying it hook, line, and sinker. And what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Burying your talent? Maybe haven't even recognized that it's in you? Let the words of the gospel challenge you, because I'm here to tell you, you are going to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an accounting of how you use the gifts that have been entrusted to you. That should challenge you. That should concern you a little bit. That should light a fire under your behind. It really should. And you know something? It does. I remember, I had priests growing up that I had great affection for and kindness, especially as I got a little older, as I got maybe into my 20s, really when I was a little kid, not so much, but nonetheless. I don't know that I heard the hard part of the gospel. Because when I started reading the Bible on my own, something said to me, read the Bible. So I started reading it. And I'm reading through the Gospels, right? And I'm meeting this guy in the Gospel. And he's challenging me. He's speaking to me. He's calling me out of my apathy. And telling me I have to do something with the gift that has been given to me. I would have been just as happy to leave it buried, right? And then when I stood before the judge of all and I see what I have wasted, but we need to stop now. We need to think about the gift that has been given. We don't need to divide the gospel up into the hard part and the easy part and just read the easy part. There's power in the gospel. Have I said that this morning already? It's a powerful, transforming, healing, life-changing word. Receive it. St. Augustine said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like in the gospel, it is not the gospel that you believe. It is yourself. And you are an idolater, and your idol is you. And let me tell you, idolatry is ultimately not satisfying. And if you're an idolater, you're going to turn against God eventually. And we have a lot of idolatry happening where we worship ourselves, we worship our house, we worship what we can buy at the mall or on the online or our boat or whatever it might be. St. Paul says, do not be deceived. I say to you, the gospel is not just information, right? It's transformative power. It demands a response. The gospel demands a response. And doing nothing is a response. It rejects the gospel. Now, let me ask you, what's your gift and talent? What are you good at? What has God entrusted to you? Don't say nothing. That answer's not on the sheet. You got to pick something else, okay? And so we're cultivating that desire to know and use our gifts. That's what Jesus is doing when he challenges us in these powerful words. You know, if I went to medical school and I became a doctor instead of a priest, but I did not like telling people the bad news, right? So you come to my clinic and I said, well, your heart's good and your lungs are good, but we won't talk about your kidney disease, okay? We can't, because you might feel bad if I tell you that, right? No, and it's the same with the gospel. Yes, indeed, the gospel can be encouraging. It can be uplifting. It can be so beautiful and tender and merciful. But the gospel can also challenge us. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray that I hear these words at the end of my life. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Since you were faithful in small matters, I will give you great responsibilities. I pray that I hear those words, but I'm well aware of the fact that he's just as capable of saying, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I did not plant. Or you could say, you accuse me of harvesting where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter. Could you not at least have put my money in the bank? See, it was a deliberate attempt not to make a profit, to work against the master's gift. So, you know, who's going to share this information with your friends and neighbors and your children and your grandchildren? Somebody with more talent than you? No. You are, okay? You are. The gospel has its own power. The gospel has its own power. We just have to expose ourselves to the whole gospel. Lord, may you transform me that I may use the talents that you have given to me.